Let's go to 1 Peter 2, because that's where he told me to start everything. So that's where we're going to start. And we're in the Message Bible. Then we're going to go to Psalm 133. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 16, read, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level." And now, I just want to insert something here. This is letting us know, folks, that we have a choice to make. He said, be good citizens. That means we have an opportunity to not be good citizens. He said, respect the authorities, whatever their level. We have an opportunity to disrespect the authorities. And he tells us why. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God and respect the government. That's why we're following the guidelines of our local officials and the CDC. We're respecting the government. We pray for those in authority. We pray that they receive godly wisdom. So when they come up with something, we have to choose to believe it's godly wisdom because our prayers are answered. Psalm 133 says, "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the Mount of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." And we've been talking about understanding unity because when we look at everything that's going on in the world, the answer to it is unity of the body, unity of the body of Christ. By unity of the body of Christ, that means the body of Christ comes together just like our natural bodies come together, that the body of Christ listens and immediately obeys the head, Jesus Christ, just like our limbs and other body parts, both external and internal, obey the commands of the head, the brain. The body of Christ is supposed to function the same way. If there's a pain in your left shoulder, the right hand and arm immediately come over and try and ease it, try and help it. It doesn't get into a conversation with the other body parts to try and figure out what the arm did to cause it to be in pain. The brain said, go help. It went to help. And that's the way the body of Christ needs to operate. We have to come to that point of unity so that the current conditions in our states, in our communities, in our cities, in our neighborhoods, even in our homes, can become good and pleasant. Because unity is the prerequisite. Since how good and pleasure it is for us to dwell together in unity. At that place of unity, the blessing is conferred. So if there's no place of unity, folks, there's no blessing conferred. And what do you have? Chaos. Chaos. You have dislike, you have hatred, you have all of the stuff that we're experiencing in this world, you have because it's not good and pleasant. It doesn't say how good and pleasant it is to break off into your own cliques. It doesn't say it's good and pleasant to just stay around your own kind. It doesn't say it's good and pleasant for everyone to go their own separate ways. It's something, and I'll tell you this. I used to be guilty of it. Because it sounds spiritual, but it's not. One of the things that we do, and I told you when we first started this series, one of the things we do to keep from being in unity, and we think it's very, very spiritual, we'll say, okay, well, we will agree to disagree. And I used to think that was a good thing to say. Because, see, when you agree to disagree, that means you don't have to work things out. That means no one has to walk in love. What do you mean by that, Pastor? No one has to see the other person as better than themselves. when you agree to disagree, both parties think they're absolutely right and the other one doesn't know what they're talking about and they're not willing to change. So we're going to agree to walk out of unity. That's what we're doing. Look at Matthew 18, verse 19. Jesus is giving us some key information. He said, again, I say unto you, and he said again, so he must have said it before, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father, which is in heaven. So if the two of you, any two, agree to disagree, you've condemned yourself to a lifetime of disagreement with that other party or that other person, whoever, or that ever idea, whatever it is. You agree that we are not going to walk in agreement, period. We're not going to work it out. We're not going to walk in love. That's what we're doing when we say that. Agreeing to disagree is not a place of unity. Agreeing to disagree is a place of civil disharmony. And we get drawn into it because it's comfortable. But it creates uncomfortable situations. We have to agree. We need the blessing life, and we need to do it no matter what the cost. We need to get into agreement. We need to walk in unity with one another at all costs. And when I say at all costs, I don't want you to think that that's something that's going to be very, very expensive for you. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 7. But 1 Corinthians 6 in the Passion Translation, verse 20 says, you were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then, use your body to bring glory to God. Why? Because he paid for you. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 23 and 24, and this is in the Message Bible. He said, all of you, slave and free, both were once held hostage in a sinful society. Listen to this. Then a huge sum was paid out for your ransom. So please don't, out of old habit, slip back into being or doing what everyone else tells you. Friends, stay where you were called to be. God is there. Hold the high ground with him at your side. So when I say at all costs, that means that all of us should be able to walk in unity, whatever the cost, because whatever the cost was, it's already been paid. All we have to do is walk in what was already provided. We're in this room. We're presenting this to you via stream. It's all been provided. Whatever the cost, we didn't have to concern ourselves with it because God provided for all of our need so that we can do what he told us to do, and it's the same thing with unity. Whatever it takes, folks, we have to get in and stay in unity because the price for us to walk in unity has been paid. We've been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We became new creatures in Christ Jesus. Jesus gave us power over, you know, my favorite scripture, Luke 10:19, he gave us power, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses, and nothing can by any means harm us. So we already have the power we need to walk in agreement with one another. We already have the power we need to walk in agreement with God's word. Because when we walk in agreement with God's word, we'll be walking in agreement with one another because we'll be obeying God's word. It's that simple. Look at 2 Timothy 2, because nothing should prevent us from walking in unity, but things do. And what prevents us from walking in unity is that we break ranks. We forget we're in the army of the Lord. We break ranks and we get involved in things that we were instructed to avoid. And we develop opinions. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 5 in the Passion Translation reads, "Overcome every form of evil as a victorious soldier of Jesus, the Anointed One. For every soldier, every single believer called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him." The only way you can fully satisfy all the requirements to stay in unity is to divorce yourself from the distractions of this world. You have to be separate. There has to be a separation. It has to be, I used to be connected to you. I'm not connected to you anymore. Doesn't mean you don't concern about them, that you be concerned about them. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is your responsibility is to go to the place where God placed you and stay there. The best thing that we can do to solve all of the issues in this world is to stay where God put us and do what he told us to do while we were there. He has people in place that can handle it. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. I need to be where I'm supposed to be so that I can speak to you the things God told me to speak to you. I can't do that if I'm not here. I can't do that if I'm running off somewhere else. The only way is to satisfy all the requirements is to stay in unity, being divorced from the distractions of this world. You're part of a well group. We're all part of a well-trained group of elite soldiers known as the Army of the Lord, or you could say known as the church. And the church flowing in unity, there isn't anything that can overwhelm, overtake, even slow us down. Because nothing is more powerful than the strength of the church. An athlete who doesn't play by the rules will never receive the trophy. It says, so remain faithful to God. An athlete that doesn't play by the rules can wind up taking himself out of the game because he's not where he's supposed to be. If the coach calls a play and you're supposed to be in the left corner and cut toward the key, the ball will be there, but you won't be. And chaos can ensue. But I'm going to tell you a story, and then I'm going to show you that story in action. We're going to look at part of Samson's life. But I've heard people tell this story. You know, I remember Pastor Clinton told it. I believe he may have used the lobster, but it's a story. It's used as a metaphor, but it's called the boiling frog. It's a fable. You know, it's not a true story. I mean, it's a true action. It's a true account. It says the boiling frog is a fable describing a frog being slowly boiled alive. The premise, listen to this, folks. The premise is that if a frog is put suddenly into boiling water, it will jump out. If you come on a scene and it's chaos and it's gunfire and it's all this stuff, just violent stuff just going on, you're probably not going to stay. You're going to get out because you see it for what it really is. It says, but if the frog is put in tepid water, in room temperature water, which is then brought to a boil slowly, it will not perceive the danger and will be cooked to death. Think about that. You put the frog in room temperature water. You put the person where everything is flowing the way you think it should be. You're hearing everything you want to hear. And you stay there. And then gradually things get turned up. You're so comfortable, you don't realize that things just got hotter. And like that frog, the next thing you know, you're cooked. You're cooked. And you're wondering what happened. Like I said, this isn't a metaphor for the inability or unwillingness of people to react or be aware of sinister threats that arise gradually rather than suddenly. See, folks, the devil, we refer to the devil as dumb, and he is not dumb. He's a brilliant strategist. And you need to understand that. Some of the reasons we get into trouble is because we don't think that he's smart. He's very smart. He's an archangel. He's an archangel. There is a threat against this nation. There's a threat against our way of life. There's a threat against Christianity. And we haven't divorced ourselves from the other distractions, and so we don't see what's going on. We're only seeing what's being mashed in our faces, and the heat is being turned up, and we don't realize it. We don't realize it because it's a comfortable place. I'm saying what's in my heart. I'm getting this thing off my chest. It's time for things to change. Yes, it may be. But how are they going to change? Changing for the better or changing for worse? And this metaphor about the frog is letting you know that things can change for the worse, and you can be so comfortable of the process, you don't realize it. And folks that stand in the same office as I do and Pastor Ed does, we have a responsibility to tell you the water's getting hot. If you don't get out, you're going to be cooked. You're going to be cooked. But like I said before, we like it. It's comfortable. Or it's something that we can easily identify with. It feels good. It feels good. What we don't understand is that the goal was to cook you from the beginning. That's always been the devil's goal. He wants you cooked. And he knows the only way he can do it is with your cooperation, with my cooperation. So he allows things to rise up that we can identify with for whatever reason. You know, in Romans 12, verse 2, in the Message Bible, it says, don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's the premise that the enemy is using. He's trying to get us so well-adjusted to our culture that we just jump right into it and we don't stop to say, hey, wait a minute. What's really happening here? What am I really dealing with here? We'll get to that place once we divorce ourselves from the distractions of the world. Once we divorce ourselves. Because until we divorce ourselves from it, we're always going to hear it. Look at 1 Corinthians. Verse 7, and before I read that, let me just, I wrote a note here that came this morning. Things that you place, because you're wondering, all right, well, what is it that draws me into the pot? It's things that you place in a higher position than God's plan. It's things that you place, things that I choose to place in a higher position, in a place of more importance, if you will, than what I know God has told me, than what I know is his plan for me. I place things in a higher position to that. I'm putting myself in a position to get cooked and not even realize that I'm being cooked. You're on the devil's menu. And we need to understand that. He loves to serve up Christians. Look at them. Jesus said they had power over me. Where's their power now? 1 Corinthians 7, 23 and 24 in the Message Bible. All of you, slave and free, both were once held hostage in a sinful society. Then a huge sum was paid out for your ransom. So please, I know I read this before, I'm reading it again, I'll probably read it a third time. So please, don't out of old habit slip back into being or doing what everyone tells you. Friends, stay where you were called to be. God is there. Hold the high ground with him at your side. Growing up, I got tired of people telling me what I should do. I mean, they didn't even know. They were saying, I was supposed to get mad if you call me this name. And then if you call me that name, 2-3 years later, they said, no, you should be called that name. If they call you this name, you know, take it. And I'm like, you know, when you guys figure it out, meanwhile, I'm going to stick with Gregory. That's my name. And that's not changing. And then when I was rebelling, I changed it. I didn't go by Gregory. I went by Foots. That was my rebellion name. Right? Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the reason he has to press is because there are obstacles and things along the way. There are things that are going to be presented to you that look good, sound good, smell good, taste good, because it's trying to get you into the pot so you can be cooked. Philippians 3:13 in the Passion Translation says it a little differently. It says, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling force. I forget all the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. Now notice, it said, instead of connecting to all of the past, I fasten my heart to the future. I let go of everything that's in the past. And it doesn't say everything in your past. It says everything in the past. And so if I focus on forgetting everything that's in the past, guess what? My past is included in it. So I don't have to sit down and think, well, what did I do this? Did I do like Urkel? Did I do that? You know, I don't have to do those things. All I have to do is forget the past and latch on to what God told me is my future. To what God told me is my future. It's a, well, Pastor Carr, what about things that we see happening? What about them? You need to understand, I need to understand, and I said this earlier, the best way I can handle things going on is to do the things God told me to do. Period. God didn't say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments unless an issue comes up that you think is more important. He didn't say that. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Period. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, we walk by faith and not by sight. And we have to understand that God, since the scripture clearly tells us that before we were formed in our mother's womb, God knew all about us. Before we saw the light of day, that means before we came out of the womb, he had holy plans for us. So all this happened before we ever knew we were a person. God had everything all worked out. He knew every obstacle. He knew every cold, every sneeze. Everything there is to know about us, he already knew. And everything that we were ever going to face, he already put an answer in place. All we have to do is stay put. By that I mean stay where he put us, stay where he sent us, stay where he planted us, do what he told us to do. Everything will work out. But we don't know. See, I don't know how me staying here today, doing what I'm supposed to do, is going to affect the future. You know, I can guess. I can, you know, theorize. But the truth is, I don't know. I don't know who I'm impacting. I don't know if I'm turning anybody. I don't know. All I know is I'm doing what God told me to do. I know what's going on. Yes, I have personal feelings about it. But my personal feelings will put me in the pot. My personal feelings will get me cooked. So I had to and have to learn how to put aside my personal feelings. And sometimes I can't just go like this. Sometimes it's, I got to get these pushed aside so I can stay where God told me to stay and do what God told me to do, because that's my part in the solution. That's my part. Overcome, as I'm going to reread 2 Timothy 2, because it's important. Overcome every form of evil as a victorious soldier of Jesus, the Anointed One. For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. Verse 5. An athlete who doesn't play by the rules will never receive the trophy, so remain faithful to God. If you want to win, if you want to come out of this ahead, you have to remain faithful to who you are in Christ, because that's the only thing that will change the hearts of men. And like I said, God already has people in place. He said he placed members in the body, every one of them, as it pleased him. And he did it so the body can remain in unity. The scripture says so that there's no schism, there's no disharmony. But everybody walks together in unity. Everybody. Now, I told you I was going to tell you some things about Samson. And don't get me wrong, even though Samson made some mistakes, he is listed in the Faith Hall of Fame. And he is one of my favorite Bible personalities, so to speak. I don't have time to tell you why, but he is. But he jumped in the pot and got cooked. He jumped in the pot and got cooked. In Judges 13, and I'm just going to be skimming through Judges 13, 14, I believe, and 15. So if you can't follow along, it's okay. It says, verse 1 to 5, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. It means his wife didn't have any children and allegedly couldn't have any children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and beareth not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. So the angel of the Lord said, forget about what's going on with you right now. You're going to have a baby. Doesn't matter what anyone has said. Doesn't matter anything that happened. I'm telling you, you're going to have a son. And then he gave her some instructions. He said, now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, that means for thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And listen to this. No razor shall come on his head. That means he can't get a haircut. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. That means this child that's about to be born is to come out of the womb serving God. Come out of the womb dedicated and consecrated to God. From right out of the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Now, it didn't say he will deliver. What did it say? It said he will begin to deliver. He's going to start the delivery process. This is a big deal, folks. This is a big deal. Samson was consecrated and devoted to God from the womb. So that means his entire life was to be devoted to strict services to God and God alone. In verse 24, it says, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. First mistake, Judges 14, starting with verse 1. I'm going to skim down a few verses. And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Uh-oh. Israel was not supposed to have any dealings with the Philistines. The Philistines were the enemy. Samson didn't divorce himself from the enemy. He came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now go get her for me to wife. And his father and mother said, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest and take the wife of an uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now, verse 4 says his father and mother didn't know it was of the Lord. But the lesson is they knew what God had said concerning Samson. And they had an obligation to find out from God, this is what my son has requested. You said that he was a Nazarite. What do you want me to do? And I'm pointing that out because to Samson, it felt right. It felt right. He told her, go get her because she pleases me well. We get involved in things. We wind up jumping into the pot because things please us well. And when we fail to ask God, what is it that we want to do? What does he want us to do in that situation? And be honest with him. Lord, I like this. Yeah, this feels real good, Lord. And he'll tell you. He'll say, go for it. Or he'll say, divorce yourself from this thing. Because if you don't, you will not fully satisfy me. You will not be in unity with my plan for you. So that was the first thing. And that set Samson on a path. I'm going to have to move in a little faster because I'm running out of time. I'm going to move to right to Judges 16. So Samson went to Gaza. He saw there a harlot, and he went into her. And he was told that the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed in him and laid wait for him because they wanted to kill him. But they tried, you know, and they couldn't. I mean, he was Samson. God's strength came on him. But in verse 4, it came to pass afterward that he loved the woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And guess what race of people Delilah was? She was a Philistine. Said, and the lords of the Philistines came unto up to her and said to her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him that we may bind him to afflict him that we may bind him to afflict him. Pretend that everything is great in this pot because we want to get him in there so we can get him cooked. So we can get him cooked. And so Samson, who was told by God that this was a secret, no one was supposed to know these things about him, but now he's looking at Delilah. And he prefers Delilah over his unity with God. She's like, get in the pot. And he's like, okay. And Delilah said, tell me, I pray thee, or I beg thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou might be bowed. In other words, saying, where do you get your strength, and what do I have to do to take it away? And Samson didn't say, why do you want to know? Samson knew he couldn't tell her, so he told her a lie. If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be as weak as another man. And she went to the Philistines, you know, to her people. She got the 7 green withs. She bound him. And there were the Philistines were waiting to get him. And she said, the Philistines are here, Samson. And he naturally, he broke things. And Delilah had a fit. She said to him, now that, this is turning the heat up a little, folks. She said to him, Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me, told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And this thing kept going on and went on, you know, a few times. And I'm thinking that this is Pastor Greg thinking, this woman is getting mad with me because I'm not telling her what she wants to know. And my question never was, why is it every time I tell you something that can harm me, you do it? He never even saw that. Why? He was caught up. He was caught up. The waters felt good. The waters felt great. It was comfortable in the water. She was in the water. And he didn't realize that every time she took exception with him for not telling her what she wanted to know, the heat was being turned up on him. And he wound up being cooked. Verse 15, because this one she really dropped it on him then. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Think about what just happened. I just saw this. How can you say you love me and our hearts are not in unity? That's what she's saying. How can you do that? How can you say you love me and your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these 3 times. You've lied to me. You've not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. You've not told me why you're so strong. You haven't told me how to take away your strength. We're not in unity. I'm asking you, I want to know this, and you're not telling me. And it came to pass when she pressured him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Folks, that's a very, very important principle. Society is going to keep pressing you daily to change the way you think about what God said, about who God said you are. You're being pressed daily. You're being urged, and you can feel that your soul, that your thoughts, like your head is about to explode, that you have to do something. Well, you're right. You do have to do something. That something is divorce the world and stay faithful to what God told you. Your head will immediately clear up. The reason, folks, that we're in that turmoil, The reason it seems that sometimes our heads are about to explode is we haven't gotten things settled. And you have to fight hard to disobey God. It's not an easy thing. And just that constant back and forth can make you just feel like, okay, I'll tell you whatever you want. Just stop nagging me. She said, you've mocked me 3 times. You made a fool of me in front of all my people. And you haven't told me wherein lies its great strength. And after many days, he told her all his heart and said, thou hast not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazareth unto God from my mother's womb. I thought it was very interesting that he didn't say, I am a Nazareth. I have been. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. I've been a Nazareth unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak like any other man. When Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, when Delilah saw that he was finally in unity with her, she called the lords of the Philistines and said, come up once, for he had showed me all his heart. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. In other words, said, I just go out and just shake him off. But he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. And the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. Samson did not do that. There was no one that could match him in physical strength. But because he didn't have the mental strength to realize what was happening to him, he jumped right into the pot. And didn't feel any danger because the pot was in line with what he wanted. But it was slowly turned up and he wound up cooked. Folks, the lesson for us, because the same thing's happening today, we have stuff being mashed in our face. We have to divorce ourselves. Yes, it may be compelling. Yes, you may be compassionate. Yes, 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 yes. All the yeses are there. Doesn't change the truth. You got to get out of the pot, because if you stay in the pot, you're going to get cooked. Because that's what the plan is, to cook you. Devil doesn't care about your comfort. Cares about your witness. See all those steamed bodies over there? They used to be Christians. And Jesus said, the gates of hell should not prevail. Well, look at all the church members. I cooked them. They didn't realize they were in a pot and the heat was being turned up. Well, guess what, folks? You're in a pot and the heat is being turned up. And what do I do? It's very simple. Get out of the pot. Divorce yourself from the distractions of this world, no matter how compelling they may seem. Doesn't mean you don't care. It means the opposite. You do care. Because if we all as believers do our part, every person that needs to be reached to cause the right change to be go into an effect will be reached. But if the person, if you were the person to reach a key figure and you're off somewhere else, what happens? Cooked. Cooked. We have to walk in unity one with another, yes. But we have to walk in unity with what God says. When we walk in unity with what God says, we will stay in unity one with another. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 24, that there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, and this is what's key, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. All sorts of things are going to come. All sorts of things are going to be said to get you to believe that Jesus is not the Christ. Because the devil wants to deceive you, but this scripture says he will deceive you if it were possible. So that must mean it's impossible for the devil to deceive us. But it is not possible, but it is possible for us to deceive us. How do we do that? By thinking what we want to do, the way we want to do it, is better and more important than what God said. And guess what, folks? It's not. The moment you have that thought, you have stepped into the pot. It's already been adjusted for your comfort. And every time you get comfortable, it's turned up just a little more. Just a little more. Just a little more. Next thing you know, cooked. Cooked. I don't want any of you served up. So please, as we read in 1 Corinthians 7, don't out of old habit slip back into being or doing what everyone else tells you. Get your definition as to who you are and what you should be doing from God and from the Word of God. Yes, there are issues out there you're going to be concerned about, but as I said earlier, the best thing you can do about it is to be obedient to where God told you to go and to do what God told you to do, to say what God told you to say, and leave every and divorce everything else. Amen? Don't be like Samson in that instance. Don't be like Samson. And if you find, if this was a wake-up call and suddenly it clicked and you realize, I'm in the pot. Don't panic. No need to panic. Get out of the pot. That's all. Just get out of the pot and divorce yourself, not only from the pot, but for all those that are trying to get you back in. Just divorce yourself. I ain't about that. Want to speak better English? I'm not about that. I'm a little different. I just said, get out of my face. No, I ain't doing that. But this, but that, but the other. I've been told that I wasn't really black. I wasn't really a black person. True story. Because I never watched The Color Purple. How dumb is that? And there were some other movies that I've never seen. I didn't have an interest in seeing them. Every black person should watch this. Every black person should do that. Says who? I know who I am in Christ. And with everything that's in me, I try and act like who I am in Christ. So it's not too late. If you didn't divorce yourself, you can start the proceedings right now. Right now, you just say, Father, I repent. I haven't divorced myself from the things of this world. I've allowed myself to get caught up. But from this moment on, I'm operating as a divorced person, and I'm realigning myself with you. I'm taking my unity out of the world and putting my unity back in the kingdom. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. That's all you have to say. And then you will have gotten out of the pot. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, for illuminating to the people, to your precious people, illuminate what you had me share with them today so that they can see it. So they can see it. And then give them the strength and the courage to just break away and climb out of the pot and realign themselves with your plans and your purposes for their lives. And we know it's so because you said so. You said you know the plans you have for us and the plans to prosper us and not harm us, to give us a hope and a future. You said before we were formed in our mother's womb, you knew all about us. Before we saw the light of day, you had holy plans for us, a prophet to the nations. That's what you had in mind for us. We realign ourselves with that word. And we jump over into unity with your plan for our lives. Your plan, Lord. We divorce ourselves from anything that will take us away from your plan. We will remain in unity with you and your word for the rest of our days, and we will stay out of the pot. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, the only way you can do that, the only way you can get out of the pot and stay out of the pot, is you need to be empowered. You need to receive. Jesus said he gave us power. Who did he give power to? Those who received him as Savior. He gave us power. He said, well, how do I get that power? Glad you asked. Very simple process. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So just say this little short prayer after me. Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. And I believe after spending 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. Jesus, I turn to you and I'm asking you, come into my heart, come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance and I turn towards you. And I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, you just confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, the only part that you're the only one who knows, did you believe it in your heart? And if you did, and this is your first time, you just got born again. Welcome, welcome into the family of God. You see contact information on the screen. Please, please contact us. Please let us know that you prayed that prayer with us and you became born again. I prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg. I believed it. I'm born again. And we will send you free information to let you know who you've become and help get you started off on the right foot. And again, if you have any questions or comments on what we shared today or in general, use the same contact information. We love getting your emails, calls, notes. We may not answer them immediately, but I promise you we will get back to you just as soon as we can. I hope you received something. I hope you received a lot. But if you only received one thing, I hope that one thing was get out of the pot. See you next time.